Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God having come with power." The some standing here were Peter and James and John. Sorry, no Andrew. He got left out. Three, I suppose, is more symbolic than four, and so three disciples it is, and Brother Andrew, the odd man, left out. Certainly not six, that would be no good. Seven would be the next acceptable number, or all 12, but one of them was a rotten egg, so that won't work either. Andrew and the others would have to wait to see the kingdom of God having come in power with Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. But for now, here in what is almost the exact middle of Mark's gospel, it is given only to these three, to Peter and James and John, to see this sneak peek of Jesus' glory as the Son of God. Jesus led them up on a high mountain. No need for an LA Fitness membership for these disciples, what with all that walking about and now hiking up a high mountain. High mountain recalls images of Sinai, Moses' mountain, and his face-to-face encounters with the Lord as the people of Israel encamped at the base of the mountain, and Moses coming down from the mountain with his face glowing like a glow-in-the-dark watch that has been left out in the sunlight. The Lord is on his mountain, and a high one it is, and you just get the feeling that something big is going to happen when the Lord is on his mountain, and it does. He was transfigured before them, metamorphosized, morphed, change in appearance. His clothing became whiter than white, as they used to say in the laundry soap commercial, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them, as St. Mark puts it. Matthew and Luke add that Jesus' face, in addition to his clothing, shone like the sun. Not the sort of Jesus that Peter and James and John were accustomed to see. But then there was always more to Jesus than met the eye. We've had plenty of hints of that. Jesus casts out demons like he is shooing a pesky cat off of the front lawn. He heals sicknesses with nothing more than a word or simply a touch. He cleanses a leper by reaching out and touching him. He does it all. Well, everything that God does, and only the way in which God can do it, because after all, Jesus is God in the flesh, and the miracles give testimony to that. But now, here, on this high mountain, in view of Peter and James and John, Jesus is momentarily transfigured. His divinity literally shines through his humanity with a heavenly brightness. God of God, light of light, true God of true God. God and man joined inseparably together as one person, the humanity fully taken up into the divinity shining through the humanity. And we learn something here. Jesus' divinity always works through his humanity. Always. Being human doesn't limit him, it enables him to touch us at the level of our humanity, but always together, true God and true man. And even though the disciples go up to a high mountain with Jesus, he nevertheless is the one who came down from the heights of heaven, from the infinite glory of God, to dwell with us. His divine glory shines through his humanity, just as the power of God's word to forgive and to heal is spoken through his mouth and applied with his human touch. And he's not alone. Elijah, together with Moses, standing there talking with him. Moses, through whom came the Torah on Mount Sinai, another very high mountain. Mr. Torah himself, who died in the wilderness and was buried by God on some unknown mountain outside the promised land. And Elijah, Mr. Prophecy, the lead prophet of Israel, who was whisked from this earth in a whirlwind accompanied by the fiery horses and chariots of Israel. And here they are, Moses and Elijah, quite well and alive, talking with Jesus. Luke tells us that they were talking with Jesus about his exodus, what he was going to do in Jerusalem, his exodus, his death and resurrection. Moses and Elijah, who with their lives and with their words pointed in type to the coming of Jesus. And now they stand flanking Jesus to bask in his glory and to bear witness once again that this is the one that they were pointing to. Oh, it's all too much for Peter, James, and John to take in. Shining Jesus, Moses, Elijah, who can bear it? Peter blurts out that he wants to build three booths, three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Why? Who really knows? Maybe he wanted to preserve the event, make a memorial. Maybe the weather was changing and he just wanted to make sure that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah had a nice roof over their heads. Maybe it just doesn't make any sense at all because they were, as Mark says, terrified. Terrified at the sight of all this. And wouldn't you be as well? And maybe you'd have some dumb idea too. We think we want to see the beatific vision, don't we? Oh, there's even a song. Shine, Jesus, shine. And we have no idea what we're asking for when we say that. We think, wouldn't it be great to see the glory? Wouldn't it be great to be up on that high mountain? Wouldn't it be great to get a glimpse of heaven on earth? And the reality is, no, it wouldn't be great. It would be terrifying. And we'd be blurting out silly things and constructing silly construction projects of our own. We can't take this vision. Not as sinners. We can't bear this vision. We can't look on God and live. Not as children of Adam. The sight is too great. The light is too brilliant. It's like looking directly at the sun. It would blind us in an instant. And that's why Jesus must come to us hiddenly and humbly and in with an underly. Words, water, bread, wine, the voice of a fellow sinner ordained to be a pastor. That's how Jesus deigns to deal with us. Forget the mountaintop. We're not ready for that yet. Forget the shining Jesus. We can't handle that. What we need is an ordinary Jesus, a humble Jesus, a lowly Jesus, a Jesus whose divinity is buried under his humanity. The baby in the manger, the man on the cross, the Jesus in the sacrament, that kind of Jesus. That's the one we need, and that's the one who comes to us in our baptism, in the sacrament of his body and blood, in the sermon, the preached word. That's the Jesus that we need. A cloud descended on the high mountain. On Sinai, the cloud signaled God's presence. You see, the glory is hidden. The eye cannot bear it. A voice is heard. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. It's a familiar voice, the voice of the Father. We heard the voice in the beginning of the Epiphany season at Jesus' baptism, where Jesus is there in the water and the heavens are opened and the Spirit descends and the voice says, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." And now in the middle of Mark's gospel, we hear it once again on the mountain. Baptism, mountain, cross. They all go together, one leading to the next, from his baptism to his transfiguration, down to his mount of glory, the cross, Calvary, the double glory, as the choir sang it. And then they saw no one but Jesus only. No more Moses, no more Elijah, they're gone. They were the warm-up act, Jesus, the main event. No one but Jesus will do. He alone has the words of eternal life. He alone has the blood that cleanses from sin. He alone brings together divinity and humanity into one person and reconciles God and man forever. No one but Jesus only. Moses, with all of his commandments, can't save you. They'll only amplify your damnation. Moses' glory fades, as Paul says, like that glow-in-the-dark watch after it's been out of the sun for a while. The glory fades. Elijah can't save you in spite of his spectacular trip to heaven in a whirlwind. What a great thing, but Elijah can't save you. There is salvation and forgiveness only in one, in Jesus. Whether he's shining like the sun on a high mountain or whether he's hanging dead in the darkness on a cross, same Jesus. Same Jesus. Listen to him. Hear him. His words are spirit and they are life and they bring you eternal life. It was a great vision for Peter and James and John, but they couldn't stay up on the mountain. They had to come down again. You know that great stretch of beach that you always wanted to live on? Yeah. The one that you fantasize about, that when you retire, you're going to live on the beach. You spent a week or two of vacation time there, and you really like it. But you know what? When you're stuck on that same beach and there's no way to get off and there's no end to the time that you're going to be there, it isn't so great anymore because you're not made to live on the beach. People spend big money to go to Hawaii every year for vacation. There are people who live in Hawaii who are trying to get off the island and get away from it again. You see, we're not made for the mountain. Not yet. We're not made for this kind of glory. Not now. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No eye can bear to see the glory of God. For Peter and James and John, and for us too, this is a little sneak peek of a coming attraction, a glimpse of the greater glory, but it's not now a permanent place. This is no place for us to pitch our tent. The disciples came down from the mountain with Jesus. And on the way down, Jesus had a little conversation with them. Tell no one until he had risen from the dead. And they wondered, what did it mean, risen from the dead? What does that mean? What on earth was Jesus talking about? This shining, glorious Jesus with Moses and Elijah rising from the dead? You see, that's the greater glory. Not shining Jesus, but dead Jesus, risen Jesus, reigning Jesus. Not Jesus on the mountain flanked by Moses and Elijah, but Jesus on the cross flanked by two common criminals. That's his glory. That's where Mark ends the whole story. That's his power. That's when he is the most Savior and the most Redeemer and the most Lord for you, to save you. The glory is not in the shining. The glory is in the darkness and the dying. That's the backside, the earthward side, the side we see, the hidden strength cloaked under weakness, the power of God to save sinners from sin and from death. And so it's not shine, Jesus, shine. No, no, it's die, Jesus, die. Rise, Jesus, rise. Reign, Jesus, reign. Come to us, Jesus, in that mysterious hiddenness of water and words and bread and wine, where you and we can meet and not be terrified, where we poor sinners can find refreshment and comfort, not fear. He meets us not on the high mountaintop, but he meets us on the flat, level plain of our boring and mundane day-to-day existence, in our vocations, in our tending to all those little things that we're given to do. He meets us there on the flat place. And one more little thought. That vision given to Peter and James and John, who did not taste of death until they saw the kingdom coming with great power and might, that was also a sneak peek of the glory that is ours now in Jesus. We too, the apostle says, are being transfigured, transformed, morphed from glory to glory. Even now, now here as we sit here, now as we approach death, we are being transfigured from one degree of glory to the next. And even now in Christ, you are seated in glory at the right hand of God. Even now, in the spiritual realm, you are with Moses and Elijah. And not just Moses and Elijah, the angels, the archangels, the whole company of heaven. And on that coming great and glorious day, you too will see that glory that is now yours in Christ to be apprehended by faith. But for now, listen. Just listen. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus, the beloved Son, in whom you too are beloved. Listen to Jesus and look to nothing and no one but Jesus only. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.